The question today is, how does one become a saint? Now, a saint is not somebody that some people look at to be some holier than thou. Usually that's self-righteousness, and they may not even be a saint. A saint, the word for saint or saints, means to be holy. It means to be sanctified, and it refers to a Christian because they're set apart, in other words, from sin and to God. That's a designation. Saint's a designation for believers. I'm talking about those who believe with the heart. In other words, those who have had a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit completed in their lives. The Bible says two times this thing is mentioned as far as the sanctification work of the Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, I'll get it right in a moment. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, "But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Now, you don't have to get afraid of that word chosen. It just simply means that that this is God's way. No man is going to be saved. No man is going to get in Christ. No man's going to become a saint till he's had the sanctifying work of the Spirit done. And he, of course, comes to the point he can believe the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." And so there's a similar verses there. It says that the only way that a person can ever get in on the things of God, can ever become a saint, is to be experience the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. And of course, that means the setting apart work of the Holy Spirit in what's referred to as Holy Ghost conviction, what the Bible actually says in John 16:8, where it says that talked about the Holy Spirit coming. The Lord said, when He's come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In other words, the word reprove means to lay blame on with the purpose of correcting it sharply and sternly with authority, bringing man to a settled persuasion or conviction of the fact that he's guilty before God, that he's sinned, that he deserves the judgment of God, and that he needs the righteousness of God if he's ever going to make heaven. Now, when that work is complete, when that work is done in a person's heart, that person has had the sanctifying work of the Spirit done, then at that moment, at that instant, he becomes what's known as a believer. He's believed with the heart. He's also been saved, and he's also become a saint because he's experienced the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now, that work has to be done in all three areas of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Too many people today in our churches have made some profession in which the work wasn't complete in all three areas. In fact, many professions are made, and there's not even any of that work done. Some people have got convicted of sin, of drinking, of lying, or stealing, or such like. And they say they repented of that, and therefore they were convicted. Well, someone told me one day, said, if you're convicted, you can be saved. I said, of what? You see, conviction has to be more than the fruit of sin. He said, of sin, John 16:9, because they believe not on me. The root sin is unbelief that God's got to deal with you about, that you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our problem in America, our problem in our homes in America today, is that we think we believe that God exists. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But folks, I want to tell you, many people are still operating in unbelief today about the fact of who Jesus is. And many have accepted the wrong Jesus because they've had the wrong spirit, the wrong work done in their heart. So I beg you to allow the work of God to be done so that you can become a saint. You become a saint at the point that God, through that sanctifying work of the Spirit, brings you to that place to where that you might really be saved and come to that place. And so, therefore, you need to see that. Let me before I finish dealing with that, in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse number 7, Paul's writing to the saints at Rome. And he makes this saying in Romans 1:7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if you'll look in your King James Bible, and I use the King James because that's the one that God preserved for us today. It's the one that's taken from the right text, the Textus Receptus. It is a translation, but it's still what God preserved for English-speaking people today. And one thing that the translators did in 1611, even though they didn't fully, I don't think all the translators fully understood the truth of what they were translating, but they were Bible theologians, no doubt about that. But they at least did in the King James Bible put in italics words that they inserted, such as in that verse, Romans 1:7, the words to be are in italics. That means they're supplied by the translators, and they're put there. They're not in the Greek text, but they're supplied in an effect, an effort to clarify the thought for the English reader. And sometimes they help, and sometimes they don't help. Now, with these words present, to be there, it could refer to those saved becoming saints at a later time. But Paul was careful. What he said in the Greek was, he was careful to say that he's writing to those called saints, not to be called, but called saints. In other words, he's writing to those who were already saved. Now, called saints means saints who are made saints by the effectual call of God into salvation. Thus, a saint is a sinner who, in answer to his faith in the Lord Jesus, has been set apart by the Holy Spirit for God, set apart from sin to holiness, and from Satan to God, and out of the first Adam into the last Adam. And that, in other words, to live a set apart life of separation. So that's what the verses is saying. That's what the Bible says a saint is. Now this verse, Romans 1:7, if it's properly translated, it refutes Catholic teaching that the Catholic Church confers sainthood upon those who they deem merit it, usually 200 or 300 years after they're dead, and it's a vote of some people, the way I understand it. I don't want to study it too much because I don't want to study counterfeit. I want to study the real, and I'll know when counterfeit shows up, no matter what they call it. So Paul makes it clear in Romans 1:7 that one becomes a saint the moment they respond to the effectual call. And the effectual call will not come until the work of Holy Ghost conviction, reproval, has been completed. Now, that's got to be in the area of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Some people say, well, I don't want to go to hell. And so they make some profession of faith. God don't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for His glory. And therefore, He will reprove you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. There'll be the judgment of hell. You'll know, recognize that you're a sinner and you deserve hell. But you need the righteousness of God, and it's not self-righteousness. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not something you do. It's the work of God in your heart. And that is the righteousness of God is Jesus. And the Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So you must have this sanctification work of the Spirit done before you'll ever be able to believe. And by the way, as God convicts you and of sin, righteousness, and judgment, as He reveals those things to you and works in your heart, they become a reality. It's not something in your head. It's a reality in your heart. And then, of course, He grants you repentance. Now, godly sorrow, which is deep cause grief over your sin that's against the Holy God and sin of unbelief that you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that comes, that works repentance. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. And so therefore, repentance must be worked in your heart. Now, repentance is a noun. That's God's work. And God's got to grant you repentance, and that only comes by His work of godly sorrow. And, of course, that's connected to the work of reproval, all we call Holy Ghost conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, or the sanctifying work of the Spirit that comes and looses you from the bondage of sin, of Satan, and self. Listen, this old world has a hold on you. Old self has a hold on you. Satan has a hold on you. And if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God to come and loose you from that sin and bondage of sin, self, and Satan, and the world, you'd never even move toward the Lord. But when He looses you and moves in your life and awakens you to truth, you begin to move toward the Lord and seek the Lord. And then He begins by working in you all that's needed in the area of reproval. Reproving, laying blame on you so that you can correct that. And so when repentance is worked in you and repentance is granted to you, then you can repent. And connected with granting repentance also will be the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He what He gives unto you. It's His faith. It's not your faith. It's not something you muster up. It's not something you do with the head. But when He grants you faith and He grants you repentance, then you can obey the gospel by repenting and believing. And repenting and believing are verbs. That's something that you do. And at the very instant that happens, the sanctifying work of the Spirit is done in your life, and you're labeled a saint because you're a believer. You've been saved. Now, the Lord says He does some things for His saints. In other words, in Psalms 97, verse number 10, He said, "Ye that love the Lord and hate evil, He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Listen, the devil can't get hold to you. That's eternal security that He's talking about. Once you're saved, you have eternal life, and you're preserved from all evil because you've had the sanctifying work of the Spirit done. Nothing can happen to you eternally, I'm talking about, because you're safe and sealed for heaven's golden portal shore. In fact, you're called a sheep. And John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. For My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of My Father's hand." And so therefore, He preserveth the souls of His saints. Psalms 116, verse number 15 said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Why? Because they go to be with Him. In fact, He says in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, He said, "To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with His saints." Now, that Paul's writing the church at Thessalonica to give them some understanding about their loved ones who had died. What's going to happen to them? See, they carried the body out to the grave, but 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "Absent from the body is present with the Lord." And so, therefore, the soul and the spirit leaves out of the body, goes to be with the Lord in the third heaven, in paradise. Revelation 6 speaks of them as being under the altar. And when the Lord comes back in what we call the rapture, not a Bible word, but a Bible principle, He'll come back with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And it says, those that's dead will be caught up. In other words, their body will be resurrected and joined with the soul and the spirit of the saints that come back with Him there. And then those who are alive will be changed and caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So the Lord takes a saint. He makes a saint out of a person the moment that the sanctifying work of the Spirit is completed and he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of his heart and life. He's repented, he's believed, he's saved, he's a saint. He don't have to wait 300 years as some people try to think you do. At that instant, you become a saint. And the Lord, precious in His sight, are the death of His saints. And you'll be with the Lord forevermore. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying, good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.